Welcome to the Barbecue Central Show, the show where we talk about all things that are important in the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews with competitors on the barbecue circuit, grill manufacturers and pit makers, to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here on the Barbecue Central Show. Your host, Greg Rempe, is a backyard barbecue and grilling fanatic and loves to talk about his passion, which many of us share together. You can learn more about barbecue and grilling by visiting the website, thebbqcentral.com. Now, let's get in the smoke. Here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
As promised, let's go ahead and race over to the hotline. And the creator of a great invention, Michael D. from Charbecue. Michael, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, Michael. Thank you for asking. And welcome into the show, first of all. And I got to say, I saw your product, or actually, I think you might have actually emailed me to take a look at it. And when I saw it, I was like, you know what? Man, it clicked with me that this was a product that even 2 or 3 weeks prior to getting to your email, I was talking with my brother-in-law about doing something specific. But before I give everything away and let all the cats out of the bag, how about a little information about you, Michael, and kind of what you do on a day-to-day basis, and then we'll get a little bit more into Charbecue.
Sure, not a problem. I'm a part-time inventor. I guess I work full-time for a security company. I go out and meet clients and try to basically secure their networks and computer infrastructures. So that's why I do on a full-time job. My love is inventing, and one of my biggest passion has been building a pig roaster and then figuring out different ways of modifying it. And that's what led to the Charbecue.
So what kind of how were you looking to get into the pig roaster? Did you have a passion for like whole hog type thing, or were you looking to simplify it? What were you doing with that?
That's funny. It actually started with my father. He's from the old country. He's originally from Serbia. And so we moved out to Gaithersburg about 7 years ago in Maryland. And he said to my friend and I, who's also an inventor, he said, it would be great if we could, you know, the older times we used to kick, fire up the pig or piglets or the hogs. And that's what started it all. My friend turned to me and said, hey, why don't we do something? And next thing I know, we're buying a 55-gallon drum. We're buying wheels, and we've got this little cart, put it on the cart. We got a rotisserie going on. So it just morphed into this. We do this twice a year now. We basically do a fall festival or a luau, depending upon the weather. And during that one of those times, we just, we just decided that we needed to fix the problem with the charcoal.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get into that here in a second. Michael D. joining me here on the show. The website, by the way, charbeq.com, and that's C-H-R, the letter B, the letter Q, charbeq.com. Go ahead and check out that out while we're talking with Michael. So we're talking about charcoal, obviously. You saw a problem with it, and I'm going to tell you how I first envisioned it when you sent it to me, but since you're the guy that created it, what did you see? What was your problem with charcoal and gas grills, and how were you going to meld the two together?
My problem was I own the gas grill. Don't get me wrong. I've owned the gas grill. The fondest memories I had is I was from New York, so Sunken Meadow Park. My parents used to go there. And, you know, memories I had of charcoal was charcoal cooking back in Sunken Meadow. That, you know, I don't know, I'm a little old here. I guess 40 years ago, 30 years ago, the popular way to go is charcoal. And so I moved out. I got a house of my own, and I've been doing gas. And how I married the two was actually just purely by coincidence. It was a point of need. The 55-gallon drum tank holds a lot of charcoal, and by the next morning, taking that and dumping it over is quite a challenge. And so my friend and I said, there's got to be an easier way. Next thing we did is we invented the tray, and then that morphed into, hey, why am I just limiting it for the 55-gallon drum tank? Why don't I take this baby and put it into my existing gas grill and actually now cook with the flavors that we enjoy at the pig twice a year? So now I got it year round anytime I want it. And that's how it all fell apart, or came together, I should say.
How long ago was that, Michael?
That was 2 years ago. It took us 2 years to find manufacturer. We spent a lot of time designing it. That was one of our biggest, you know, the fun part. We would come by every night. My friend and I would get together and we'd just try to figure out what's the best way to make this as flexible. You know, we didn't – on the market, you've got one size. My problem is that my grill is different from his grill, and my next-door neighbor has a different size grill.
Right.
So how do you make one unit fit any size grill. And then at the same time, we didn't want to be saying, oh, you got to buy 3 units or 4 units or you got to spec it out. That was a challenge. And then once we got that done, you know, I got to tell you that many people see it. And, you know, like you said, you know, it sounds like a great venture. It sounds cool. But the minute we do the little, as I call it, the little magic, you know, pull it out and pull it vertical and horizontal, I get the wow face. And I tell you, just selling is the best thing, you know, watching people's face go light up saying, oh, my God, that's so cool. That's what kills it. You know, that really hits the heart for me.
All right, Michael. So let me ask you this for the people that haven't gone over to the website to take a look at it. If you can paint kind of the verbal picture of what it does and what it's supposed to do as far as, you know, the specifications and how you're going to fit it to your particular cooker.
Sure. Oh, it's easy. If you picture it as a box, it's a cross between a box and an origami concept. So it's made up of four corners, and it actually expands from, let's see, I think it's 19 to 27 inches. And so it goes out both vertically and horizontally. And all those corners expand, and then you use bolts to lock it down, and we've got the handles. So this way, it gives you the ability to go from any size, pretty much any size grill. Now, of course, since we've had this out in the market, we've realized there's a couple of incompatibilities. Someone wanted it for a pourable, it doesn't fit. You know, I got some unique situations, but for the most part so far, people have been coming back saying this is just fantastic. It's been fitting. You know, some people bought it 2 units because they got a big grill, and they've actually converted a broken gas grill into a permanent charcoal grill. And the thing they love about it is the handles. It basically, you know, you take it, you pull it out, you dump it, and you're ready to go. So the best way to think about it is an adjustable box, and it adjusts both length and width. And that's the key to the Charbecue. It's that adjustability.
Michael D., inventor of Charbecue. The website again, Charbeq. That's the word char and then the letter B, letter Q. .com if you want to go check it out. So let me kind of revert back to what I was getting at first. I was talking with my brother-in-law 2-3 weeks before you shot me that email to tell me to go take a look at what you had going on over there, Michael. And he has a Charm Glow gas grill. It's probably 4 or 5 years old. I think I actually counseled him in buying that particular unit when we were talking about what he was looking to do and how often he was going to use it, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, the inners are starting to rust out. The heat deflector shields were pretty much trashed. And his ability to go back to Home Depot and find any type of quality replacement parts that were either from OEM or some type of an aftermarket place were almost nothing. So inevitably, the conversation leads to, well, what if we tried to retrofit this bad boy into some type of a charcoal grill? And I said, well, of course, I would have no idea how to do that other than like taking a Sawzall and cutting out everything in the box and then trying to figure out to put some pan in here. Lo and behold, here comes an email from Charbeq, and I'm like, you have to be kidding me. Look at it. And it would adjust almost full length to his grill. The thing that I liked best about it is the fact that you could actually do a true indirect. You could fit it to half size of the grill, so you would have your heat source on the right side, let's say, but then you could put stuff over on the left that was all indirect heat. And I think when we were talking initially, Michael, this wasn't even the concept that you had for the people, and there has to be dozens of us that are the barbecue and grilling enthusiasts that have at least 1 or 20 old gas grills that are littering the backyard that we could actually make use of with the Charbeq.
You are right, Greg. You brought it out. You were the second person, I guess, that really bring it out to us. There was a guy at the Safeway barbecue battle, and he brought it to our attention. He bought 2 units, and that is exactly what he said. And he sent me an email, and that's what he did. He did what you described. He had it broken down. He's been using a very big old unit and cleaning it out. He said it was always a hassle. And when he saw me demonstrate it, he goes, that's great. The handles are removable. And then at the end of the night, you go in, you grab it, and you dump it. And he goes, that's exactly what I've been looking for. And I didn't think nothing of it until you pointed it out to me. And again, it's one of those, maybe it was short-sightedness, because for me, it was all about the grilling, as you've pointed out. You know, I like the hot and cold, and that's how I envision it. As a matter of fact, this weekend, I'm going to be grilling my favorite item, which is usually the filet. And my little boy loves that. And that's how I envisioned it. And you helped bring it to the next level for me. So thank you very much.
Yeah, oh, certainly my pleasure. We're talking with Michael D. from Charbeq, website char and the letter B, letter Q.com. Michael, so let's get into the business aspect of this. When you come up with the concept And now you're looking at material. Obviously, doing business in the USA is very expensive, just like 90% of everything else. It's a, you know, made off-site. So obviously, you were probably sourcing from other countries. I know you said you were a part-time inventor. To me, the minute you start looking outside like another, it seems very complicated to me. So how are you able to source out material, make it price competitive, and how many iterations did you have to go through before you actually felt comfortable bringing it to market?
Oh, that's a good question. So it took 2 years. It literally took us about 2 years to go through different iterations, height and size. It was all about adjustability. I went to Lowe's so many times and the local Home Depot just to physically do things. The saddest moment for me was when I couldn't get it manufactured in the U.S. And trust me, it wasn't lack of trying. I've called around in California. I went to the Midwestern states. It was all about phone calls. I couldn't get what I've got now done in the United States. And that's the saddest thing. I got to tell you, I'm so proud of being American that I couldn't get it done. I had to outsource it to China, as a matter of fact. And there, I think I looked at three different, manufacturers. It was all done via the web and phone calls. I never visited. I rolled, took a big chance. I don't have a lot of money to go out there. A lot of inventors go out there and they meet them. I was just rolling the dice, and we rolled the dice with the manufacturer. They came back. It was down to two of them. One of them had a little bit better quality, and that was it. I rolled the dice. We gathered some cash together and placed an order. And trust me, it was the scariest thing. Placing an order that I had a couple samples, but you never know.
Michael D joining us here on the show. All right. So when you laid out the cash, you got the first order in, what was the initial impressions as you brought it out to market? Was it less than you expected? Was it right about where you thought it was be, or did it exceed expectation?
It brought the biggest smile to our face. I cannot tell you how happy I was, especially the barbecue show was the biggest show for us, because that was our basically coming out party. And everyone was amazed. And as a matter of fact, Myron Mixon was there and he loved it. I tried to get him over to take a look at it, and he smiled and he said it was good. And like everybody else, I figured, okay, maybe he liked, maybe he didn't. But he came back. He came back to show his partner, and he came back and someone bought one. And that was the greatest testament that someone else liked it, from a barbecue enthusiast. And one of the things he said to me was, now I know I have an answer to the question, how can I turn my gas barbecue into a charcoal barbecue? He goes, now I have an answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was a great, comeback to him, and I loved it. And I never will forget the meeting. I've got pictures. And so far, it's been exceeding my expectation.
All right, so we're looking at one type of a unit to fit all the other types of grills that are out there. So go ahead and give us a price point for those prospective buyers tonight.
Sure. It's a straight price point. It's $29.95, and then it's plus shipping and handling, which is $12.99 flat rate. And that goes either East Coast or West Coast. Europe is a different ballgame.
All right. Now, what type of material are we looking at? What kind of a life expectancy can we potentially expect with this product?
Sure. It may not stay in the steel. So my best guess, I think we have it as a 2-year warranty. I've had one return, and the guy basically returned it saying that he thought it was for, he expected to leverage gas on the unit. So the way the charbecue works is that you take the charbecue, the pan, if you will, mm-hmm. and you place it inside your existing gas grill on top of your burners. Now, my insurance company says you cannot light the gas burners and have that steel plate, the charbecue there, right? So I've got to tell you, that's what we warn, and I say that in our manual. He was on the impression they could use the gas grills, and I said to him, look, I've got to tell you that I don't do it that way. I do that, my insurance tells me not to do it that way. And when he saw that, he goes, I just want my money back. And I said, no problem. I have no problem returning someone's money if they're not happy. It's a stainless steel unit, so it should, my original one, they're all been stainless steel units, been lasting for 2 years. I've gone through, this is the fourth iteration of this design. Again, we have to change the holings and structures, so it should last for a couple of good years. There is, like any stainless steel, it does start to like bend or warp a little bit, but we're not talking that's going to stop the functionality of it. It will continue to work as it should.
Michael D joining us here on the show. I mean, obviously, you're an inventor. You are sizing it down from the pig portion to consumer gas grills to make it a charcoal grill. Is there something in between that you are currently conceptualizing to capture more of a market with the barbecue and grilling folks?
No, not for the charbecue. Is I've got to tell you, I keep racking my brains around the charbecue. And just last night, my partner John and I were together, and we're thinking of some different items and concepts. And you know, this has really brought into. We met two other inventors. One is from Canada, and one is actually in the Midwest over here. And they've also got some of these unique barbecue concepts. And I love everything. I like the retrofit. And one of the ideas we came up with yesterday doesn't do a retrofit, so it's just not cost effective to actually do the projects. I don't know what else. I look around. I try to make things better, at least. From a barbecue point of view, right now I'm just enjoying the charbecue, and I'm enjoying all the little extras I've been buying for it.
All right, so one of the other questions that I had when I initially saw it, and I've used it a couple times, and it has actually worked out it exceeded my expectations, because here's what I thought initially, and I would have to imagine, and I'm not anywhere near the expertise as some of the other folks that I deal with on a regular basis, or some of the folks that are here on my instant chat room on outdoorcookingchannel.com. But I figured, okay, so you get it fired up, you put the charcoal in there, and then when you shut the top of that gas grill, I start thinking, okay, well, the gas grill is now a charcoal grill, so I look over at my Weber kettle, and it's got the dome, and then it's got an exhaust vent on the top, so you kind of create that draft. And my initial concern was, is it going to stifle? Is it not going to keep true grilling temperatures? Especially, I mean, obviously you can regulate the temperature if you don't want it to go that hot, because you're just not going to use as much fuel to make heat. However, if you want to get it hot, you're going to be using more fuel. It's going to be lit more. And when you put that top down, what was going to happen? That was my biggest concern. And I have to say, I was more than pleasantly surprised that the holing that was already in there, whether it be for rotisserie rods or whatever accessories the manufacturer had originally put in there or cut in there to add on during your ownership of that particular grill, seemed to be plenty enough. I mean, can you control it up down to like the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 degree range? Of course not. But we're grilling here, and I have to say, if that is anybody's concern, that it shouldn't be leading you down the not buying path at all. Have you gotten similar remarks from other consumers?
It's funny. I've had a lot of enthusiasts actually brought that same thing up to me. And I'm an enthusiast. I've only started to grill, like I said, for 7 years. I've been doing the pig, but that's on the rotisserie, if you will, or on the in the drum. This was something new to me, and every time someone brought that up, I just sat saying I didn't have an issue because I didn't know any better. I didn't realize that you can do all these items that you and other people have said to me. But in the end, everyone's come back saying exactly the same thing. It's this pleasant surprise. It's perfect for what they want to do right now. And to be honest with you, what I started to actually, my friend and I, my partner John, introduced me to something. What he was doing is he would really load his up with too much charcoal. And what he would do is the only way for him to regulate that is to slowly open up the lid and basically let some of the heat out. And I looked at that and said, well, that's not a bad idea. And so what I started to do is I actually, as you pointed out, different barbecues have accessory holes and so on. So what I've been doing is putting basically my cleaning unit right in that grating hole to open it up if I felt it was too hot. And that has worked out fantastic for me. I've been very happy with the meat that's been coming out. I've turned my whole family into charcoal enthusiasts, if you will, because there's nothing like the taste of charcoal. Or even for that matter, I've even smoked on the charbecue, and you can tell the difference. You can't go from a filet from a charcoal or a smoked unit, and then when I go to a restaurant and order that same filet, it just loses the taste. And I've actually come back from vacation from Bahamas, and I've never gone. I rarely go a week without having a steak or a filet, and I had nothing there because I knew it would not live up to my expectation of the taste. And that's the saddest part for me, is I've elevated my taste buds to that effect.
There you go. He is one of the creators of the Charbecue. He is Michael D. joining us here on the show. Again, the website char, the word char, and then the letter B, letter Q, .com. Michael, I appreciate you coming on tonight, talking to us about this really great invention, and continued success with it.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you.
All right, take care. There he is. Michael D. Charbecue. Look, it sounds, when you see, I mean, take the YouTube videos with a grain of salt, little over the top, okay? That's the same guy that's in one of those. But it's a great unit, and it's, what can I say? I mean, it's very exciting to have a lot of – come clean, Central Lights. Come clean. How many of you – I said come clean. How many of you have the old boat anchors out there in the yard somewhere? I know you do. And you've just been sitting and not doing anything except collecting water and mosquitoes. And now you have the ability to put it in – as a potential another cooking unit in your arsenal. And it's, I'm telling you, it is fabulous to set up for indirect cooking. The website again, charbecue.com. That's char, C-H-A-R, the letter B, the letter Q, charbecue.com. And that was Michael D. He is the co-creator of this unit. Yeah, great, great gift idea as well, Charbecue. Pick one up for yourself. Pick one up for others. I mean, it's like $30. It's nothing. Great accessory.